You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 20, The Dementor's Kiss. We talk about the book versus the movie, and the battle, I'm making air quotes, for the Quidditch Cup continues. Welcome back. We are in the home stretch of the Quidditch Cup.
We have not given up hope.
No one has given up hope. No one's taking anything for granted either. Either of those things. We're going to quiz each other, though. We're going to get points, and then in a few weeks from now, somebody's going to get a Quidditch Cup. Or maybe they keep it. Maybe they'll just keep it.
Who knows? We'll see.
Who knows? Nobody knows. Vijaya, do you want to read the first question?
I would love to, Michael.
Angry Vijaya, please read the first question.
Angry Bungee Shasha. Go.
Okay. In the movie, whose robes were shredded by the Monster Book of Monsters?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Is Neville Longbottom.
Oh, I forgot that you read the, or you watched the movie. God damn it.
Sorry.
I didn't watch the movie.
Poor Neville. Right, you guys?
I feel a disadvantage now. I didn't watch the movie.
Yeah, well, it's not like you didn't have time to prepare, Sarah. I mean, come on.
I didn't. Do you know how much I work?
You should. Whose fault is it that you have to go to work?
I literally work from home today because of this.
Sarah, would you like to read a question?
Yeah. Okay, guys. What sweet did Fred and George feed Ron that burned a hole through his tongue? Literally.
Ding.
Michael.
Ding, ding. An acid pop.
Wow.
It's just, you know, it's my night, guys. Sorry. My brain is working
night.
For once. For once, my brain works. Is that? Oh, I got a. Hey, I want to ask a question. I got a good one. What does Newts stand for? Sarah.
It is, oh no, I can't remember. Vijaya.
Oh my god. Nasty examinations, something taking, worth taking?
I am definitely, you don't even get a half.
Wait, no, it's something nasty. It's like, oh no, I don't remember. Like, I feel like,
I thought this was one of the easy ones. I guess I was wrong.
What?
I just assumed you guys would know this. I literally has
well,
one of these
well,
ones.
Owls ordinary wizarding levels.
Right.
And Newts is...
nastily exhausting wizarding tests.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Shit.
How tests.
Shit.
Oh,
I mean, I wouldn't have got. Maybe I should have realized that I wouldn't
it's
have gotten
so,
it. So.
Oh my god, my brain is so dumb. Okay, where are we at? I don't even know where we're at.
That is the end of this round. Pretty good week for Michael. Got 2 points. Is at 19.5. We got Sarah with 13.5. And Bajaya's got 9. See you guys next week. Chapter 20, The Dementor's Kiss.
Ow!
So...
We need to do that, like, the full house. Like, you know, they're like... Ooh! They always, like, when people kiss.
That's not... No, it's a terrible
Put it in,
thing.
Alan, put it in. The Dementor's Kiss. Right there, that's where you're supposed to put it in, Alan.
So this is a very weird group of people coming back from the Shrieking Shack. You got a cat leading the way. You've got A guy with a broken leg attached to a rat man. You've got a knocked out Snape whose head keeps getting bonked against the ceiling. It's a whole thing. But they're all heading back to the castle, and Sirius kind of takes Harry aside, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, did you know? I'm actually your godfather, and
I want to make you an offer you can't refuse."
And he's like, "You know, if we turn in Pettigrew, then I'm going to be cleared. And I don't know. Would you, you know, want to come live with me?
Want to shack up, Harry?"
It's a pretty weird question to just throw right out there. But, and Harry's like, "What?"
And with a middle-aged man that I just met? Hell yeah!
And Sirius is like, "Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sure you want to live with the Dursleys." And Harry's like, "Harry's like, fuck yeah, bro, I want to come live with you.
Gonna have ice cream every day, go party
every goddamn day." So they're all just so happy. Harry's just daydreaming about leaving the Dursleys and how everything's gonna be so great and nothing could possibly ever go wrong from now on.
No, and, it's great. Everything is sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah. And that's when the moon comes out. And Lupin's like, "Uh-oh. Oopsie. Forgot my potion. Y'all are going to die."
God, I hate it when that happens.
I would have, if I was Snape, I would have, like, been like, "Oh, you forgot to take your Wolfsbane potion. I took it to your office. Saw you in the shrieking shack. I'm going to go surprise you," but at the same time.
Right, what? like he hates you, but it benefits no one if he turns into a werewolf.
Yeah, take that fucking potion with you, bro. Be like, "I hate you, but bring that wolfsbane.
Brain wolfsbane."
Yeah.
Put that plan WB.
So, Lupin transforms and Sirius transforms into the giant dog to fight him off. And in the scuffle, Pettigrew grabs a wand and he curses Ron and he curses Crookshanks. And
F you too.
But then Harry disarms him. Ron's basically useless at this point.
Break one leg and you're just out of the game.
Right. So Harry disarms him, but then Pettigrew's like, "Peace out," and he turns into a rat and he takes off. And so Sirius
deuces.
Sirius goes after him, running after him as a dog, and they're just like, "What are we gonna do?" So they start heading back to the castle, but then they hear Sirius yelping like pathetically, like he's in trouble. So Harry, being Harry, runs towards the danger. So he just runs towards where he hears the yells. And he finds, like a Gryffindor, pure Gryffindor. He finds Sirius turned back into a man, but it's suddenly really cold, and they're surrounded by Dementors.
Oh, GD.
Yeah, and so he's there with Hermione, and he's like, "Hermione, you've never done this spell before, but do you make a Patronus." They're trying to cast Patronuses, and it's not working.
You're welcome.
It's no good. Hermione collapses, and Harry's like trying to not collapse, but he's starting to black out. And friggin' Dementor lowers its hood to like, because he's gonna kiss Harry. He's gonna. Put his
Harry's
horrible
like, no,
mouth.
God and I have a pact. We're not ready for this.
Yeah. So he's gonna suck out Harry's soul.
That's bad news bears.
Right? But what? just at the moment he's gonna lose his soul, Harry sees a shimmering light, and then suddenly the Dementors all let go and he falls to the ground. and he sees a shimmering, bright animal cantering away across the lake, and it has come. It came through, and it busted up all the Dementors, and it canters away, and Harry sees somebody across the lake, and they look familiar, and then he passes out.
Oh man!
And that's the whole chapter.
Holy shit! You were not lying that was a very short chapter.
That is
everything that happens in that chapter.
It's short but potent.
It's very emotional.
There's some kisses. There's some mistaken identities or confused identities at this point. Not yet mistaken. Soon to be mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question while you were talking, but I can't remember it now.
There is some really just banking on some wizard skills that haven't been developed yet. Could you imagine that? That'd be like somebody yelling at me. They're like, Sarah, you've never done a backflip, but you could try it right now. Right. And I'd be like, sure, I'll break my neck, but I'll try it. I don't know.
This is way past OWL level.
Beyond newts.
I have no experience in adulting, and I'm doing it, so...
Adulting?
Doing what? Oh, just being an adult? Someone's like, hey, Bajaya, be an adult, and you're like, okay.
I mean, technically I'm an adult, but,
I mean, I have no experience in adultery, and I'm doing it. That's the wrong word.
Bajaya. Bajaya. It's terrible.
Josh doesn't listen to this.
Keep your mouth shut, Nika.
So, new things. Harry might go live with, there's really grasping for straws here. He sees a corporeal Patronus, I guess. I don't know if that's happened before.
Also, living with Sirius Black, cool, but that guy hasn't lived alone, pretty much almost most of his adult life. That's not going to be great.
Also hasn't lived in the real world in most of his
right, that's
life.
Like... That's not going to be like, that's not going to be like an Uncle Buck situation. That's not going to be humorous and filled with shovels with pancakes in them. Yeah. That's going to be like a very desperate, we just ate kidney beans from a can again situation.
Or chickpeas from a can again situation.
Or chickpeas. Some people eat chickpeas from a can because they're not adults, Bajaya.
No, I'm not saying I'm an adult. My godfather is drunk again on a Tuesday. I have to, I'm at home from vacation and there's no food in the fridge. And he's too hungover to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I don't have any kids, so it's not a problem when I eat chickpeas from a can. But if you have a dependent, that's kind of bad, I guess.
Probably, because those kids will not eat chickpeas from a can.
No,
I tried.
As a kid, I ate a lot of black beans.
I tried.
that's a whole lot. Do we even know if he has a house? Disregarding future things coming up,
Money?
How much freelance money has he gotten from his grimming?
I mean, he's rich. He bought Harry a fireball.
I mean, he bought a fireball, but yeah.
He put all of his freelance money into it.
What if he got a payday loan for that fireball? That's fucked up.
He's gonna have to pay much interest on that.
So much interest, probably 200%. Maybe he put it on his credit card. I don't know.
It's bad. But anyway, that's my credit card?
I don't know.
That's my chapter, dudes.
Well, thanks, Michael.
All right.
Thanks for nothing.
Hey, no problem. I watched it 2 hours ago. You mean the third movie in the Harry Potter series?
Yeah, the worst movie in the Harry Potter series.
It's not the goddamn worst. Hold back, girlfriend.
Okay, I will give you that it's not the worst in the Harry Potter series.
Did you still hate it?
I don't. Okay, let's get one thing straight. I don't hate it. I dislike it.
Did you still dislike it?
Yes.
See, I went into it preparing myself because I, like, keep saying that I really like it. And I went into it thinking, like, Sarah, you're really going to dislike it. I didn't just, there are things that I disliked about it, but there are things I dislike about every single Harry Potter movie because, all one, right, they're not the book, and two, most movies are flawed and horrible.
Yes, but I think, other than, know, like,
I actually liked it kind of, like, I'm actually not that I liked it more than I thought, but I thought I was prepared to be like, man, I've been defending this movie and it's garbage, but I actually didn't hate it that much. There were things I really hated about it, but I didn't hate it.
I don't think it's garbage. I mean, I remember liking it more than I liked it when I just watched it. It probably doesn't help that I just read the book, but, and the book is so good. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's some real bad acting in it.
Yeah.
There's some real rough acting. It's better than the first two books, and part of it's like,
yeah,
you can't, or first two movies, rather, and you kind of, the actors are the actors. Do you know what I mean? Like, the kid actors are the kid actors. So, like,
It's always the kid actors.
I kind of have to leave acting out of it because they were better in this movie than they were in the first two movies. Not great.
It's not the fact that I hate it because of the kid actors. I definitely think the acting is better in this movie than the first two because kid actors are kid actors. But I think it's the changes that they made. And I know Alfonso Cuarón is supposed to be like the artistic visionary, whatever. I don't think that was needed for this movie because he added some stuff and took some stuff out that I did not appreciate. And I think, like, that's why.
Tell us the things.
I didn't like the fact that they kept the whole firebolt situation to the end because I think maybe they should have had the whole Hermione, Ron, Harry thing in the middle.
Yeah, they never got mad at each other.
Yeah.
I have thoughts about that, but we can bookmark that and come back to it.
I don't like the way the stupid movie ended with Harry's face being streaked across the fucking screen.
Yeah, that's really fucking dumb, but we can all agree on that.
I also didn't like how I didn't like the fact that Lupin just was like, oh, yeah, your eyes are like your mom's. Oh, yeah, I knew your mom at school. Like, I didn't like that whole
scenario. But that's kind of what happens in the book, LOL.
Well, no, in the book, he, like, pretends he doesn't know them.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't talk about it. And then that's not necessarily
Alfonso Cuarón's fault either, though.
Yeah, I guess that's the scriptwriter. But I don't like the whole part about Harry and Lupin just hanging out in the forest and on the bridge, like, nobody hangs out with a professor just by themselves. Doesn't matter how much you like the professor. No, but that's kind of weird.
The books he does, though.
Yeah, when he starts his lessons, but that was before his lessons started.
But, like, literally, I mean, okay.
In the book, he doesn't hang out with Lupin before.
Right. So here's the thing, though, is that, like, as a person who loves a book, yeah, I don't love that per se. But as somebody who thinks about condensing storylines and plot and feeling and into a screenwriting script, you have to think, what is the best shorthand within two? And, like, there was stuff that was cut out. Like, it was still 2 hours and 20 minutes, which is still a long movie. Freaking Lord of the Rings is like 3 hours, and that's like, I'm sorry, it's too long. It's too long. What? My attention's not there.
Shut your mouth.
It's too fucking long. But I'm just saying, like, basically, like, how as somebody who has never read the books, and I'm not saying that people who see Harry Potter movies probably have read the books. Probably. Not necessarily. My little brother, I love him.
A lot of people haven't read the books.
He has not read the books. Yeah, and he watches all the movies. So
why have you not?
I can't make him do what he doesn't want to do. It's a Tompkins trait. That said, oh my god, no, I'm not gonna get into it. That said, like, you have to find shorthand ways to convey the idea that Harry's never trusted someone and he's never had somebody he can talk to the way that he has with Lupin, and that's what happens in the books. And because it's such a short film, we don't get to see, like, and because there's no montages, which, thank goodness, like, we don't get to see him sort of building this trust up with Lupin. So in a way, these scenes are sort of their shorthand ways to, one, establish trust, and two, sort of build, like, oh, I know your parents. Build all this stuff that we know in the books. So that's one thing. And two, the fireball situation, I actually was specifically thinking about that situation. And while I agree that it was a good, in the book, like, them being mad at Hermione was a huge portion of the book, I don't know if it would have fit in. I don't think it would have fit into the scale of the movie, because I think it would have seemed very silly and petty and not that substantial, because it would have lasted for literally 10 minutes. And I think that also the whole undercurrent of you're getting a firebolt from an unknown person, we have to test this. I just don't think, I think that all would have been cut. It just is kind of, it's just kind of extraneous. It's extraneous to a movie to me.
But they did that in the next movie.
How so?
The whole Ron thing with the Goblet of Fire.
Like Ron right, being Ron mad at Harry?
Yeah, Ron gets mad at Harry.
Yeah, but that's, I mean,
which,
not that's
which
like,
fits in with the rest of the school being mad at him, but I don't think, like,
right, but that's not
adding
that's
the
not,
firebolt
but, like,
thing
the firebolt
in. I don't think adding the firebolt thing in would have been like that much. And if they really needed to establish Harry and Lupin's relationship, they could have just maybe hurried along the Patronus classes earlier than what it is like in the book. So they could have said, okay, he started the Patronus class and that's how they got to know each other, instead of doing the whole strolling across the bridge and strolling through the woods and then starting the Patronus class, is what I'm saying. Do you see what I'm saying?
I guess.
I want to bring up other stuff.
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Is that okay?
Can I bring up other stuff? Also.
Okay. Yeah. I have some really good points to make. Right. Number one, I love Gary Oldman. He's a very good actor. He's
very
excellent.
Good.
But. Please say but.
He's too short.
He's too
Black.
Old.
No, he's too short. Sirius Black is very tall.
I think he's too old.
No, he's not too old. He's too short. What are you... I don't
he's
understand
like,
what you're saying.
Okay, how old is Gary Oldman in this movie? I just feel like he's too old. So, literally, Harry's parents had him when they were in their 20s. Like, he should be maybe in his 40s. Maybe. And, like, he's
not
like
in his
50s at least.
But I think that kind of works with him, though, because he's been in Azkaban for 12 years, and that would, like, age him more than regular people.
I guess. I don't know. I super love Gary Oldman, except for in Dracula, Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, which is a stain on humankind. But I don't think he's. I don't
Sarah,
think he's
he was 46 years old when they made.
God,
this
he looked like he was 100. Sorry, Gary. He looked younger. He looked younger when he was Commissioner Gordon. Like, he looked younger then. Like, they just.
I mean, it was.
I don't know.
Maybe it was the makeup and stuff to make him look older because he was an Azkaban. I will tell you that Alfonso Cuarón uses light very well in his movie. That movie was very. Well shot.
So I will say, so one of the things I really liked about this movie, sorry, Michael, you said you had other good points other than Gary Oldman before
right.
we go on.
Yeah, well, first of all, he would have been a young parent with someone at the age of 13. So you're, again, Sarah, always wrong during this podcast.
I'm always wrong. It's fine.
The other really, really salient point that I wanted to make was, where was Oliver Wood? We should have so much more Quidditch in this movie.
Yeah.
We should have had like 30 more minutes of Quidditch.
Okay, but here's the thing.
See, Sarah hates Quidditch in the movie.
I hate Quidditch. I've told you this. Secret.
I think everybody hates Quidditch.
No, I it's love just, like, Quidditch in the movie.
So I was literally on like a time. I was on a timeline to get to this conversation. I wanted to watch the whole movie. I fast forwarded the whole Quidditch scene and saved like 5 minutes.
I love Quidditch in the movies. I literally do. I love watching the kids cheer, and I love watching the stands. I love it. I have a question.
Oliver Wood didn't get to win the Quidditch Cup.
Yeah.
Come on. So sad. I mean, that's the number one problem in the movie, but go on.
He's like Vijaya
go ahead, make your
in our
points.
In our Quizzitch Cup. He never gets to win it. what's the deal with the Lumos Maximus thing in the beginning scene? Like, I thought that if you once cast Lumos, it just stayed lit. Yeah. He just keeps having to do it. And plus, he's not allowed to do that outside of school.
He's not allowed to do that. Yeah, no, I totally
be in so much trouble.
I totally don't. Like I said, there are things. Okay, so there are things I really, really like about this movie, and there are things I really like. Especially as a Harry Potter nerd, I'm like, oh, God, I hate that. And one of those things is that part at the beginning. I'm like, I get it. He's supposed to be, jacking it under the sheets. Totally hilarious teen thing. No, but it's, like, supposed to be a teen thing. Whatever. But he's not supposed to be doing that, one. And then, I can list the things that I hate. But that is one thing that like, right off the bat, it kind of bothers me. And I get that it's supposed to be setting like, a tone for... He's asked nobody. They don't like that he's doing magic. He's excited to go back to school. It's shorthand. It's lazy shorthand because you've never read the book if you think that that's okay. But you know what I mean.
So the other question I had, you know, when I don't remember if Hagrid did this in the book. I don't think he did. In the movie, after Buckbeak, like, finally bows to Harry, Hagrid says, oh, I think he'll let you ride him. I don't think he does that in the book.
Okay. Again, this is why I win the Quidditch Cup every time. Yes, he absolutely does that.
But
here's where the movie makes a horrible mistake. Harry hates it. In the movie, he loves it. 0 stars.
No, so I was going to say, is that really irresponsible of Hagrid to make Harry ride Buckbeak?
And Harry can't even, like, hold on to him.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because there's feathers, and he's like, don't pull out any feathers. But there are Dementors around, and Dumbledore specifically says, don't, like, try to get out of school. And you can't control where a fucking hippogriff flies, especially if Harry's not allowed to, like, steer him in any way because you're not supposed to pull out the feathers.
Yeah, no, I don't care for that. I think that that's... That's one of the things I don't like about the movie is that scene too. And again, I think it's supposed to be like Harry's enjoying himself before everything starts to suck. But I still don't like it.
Harry loves flying so much that he likes flying everything.
And before, like, that's I was, like, mentally making a list of things I didn't like. One was that beginning scene with him doing the Lumos Maximus. The next thing was the night bus with the shrunken head. I just think that's silly in a way that I don't. I understand that it's supposed to be whimsical, I guess, but I'm
hey, you guys, why the long faces?
I just don't, just like, there's zero need for any of them. But Michael's laughing now, so maybe there's a need for
I'm laughing at vagina.
I literally said that last night.
That was actually pretty good, vagina.
Before the shrunken head said it, I said it to Josh. And he was like, what's wrong with you? I made Josh watch it again. This exercise in watching all these movies for these episodes this podcast has also been my attempt of making him watch it 2 times.
I guess no. Before we get to as a whole the movie, which or at least the cinematography, which I really enjoy, like, and I will speak to that. But I also think that they handle. I hate the werewolf. It is the dumbest werewolf.
I also hate the way they shot in the whole scene with Lupin, Black, and Peter. They just kind of like, I don't like the way they were like, oh, I'm running. Oh, they stopped me. Oh, I'm going to run over here. Yeah, I didn't like that whole thing.
Oh, I didn't mind any of that. I hated, and I actually really, I like the Shrieking Shack. I thought that was great. I love that they finally, like, the first 2 movies, you can just literally, you can just slip and fall and be in Hagrid's hut. It's like on campus.
It's true.
And that's not the way it is in the movies. And so I like in the 3rd movie, they're like, we're going to put some distance. Like, it's a walk. And so I really like that. I liked that they kind of gave a little bit more scenery and place to it and made it feel a little bit more removed and magical to me. And I liked that. I thought they handled the time. I actually think that they handled how they did the time travel and, like, seeing themselves. I thought that was pretty cool that they chose those moments. I hated the werewolf. It's still like, to this day, I'm like, that is the dumbest freaking werewolf. It looks like a chihuahua.
A grown-up chihuahua.
It looks like a grown-up chihuahua with long legs.
I think it looks like Tim's dog, Addy.
It looks like Addy. It looks like Addy. It looks like a whippet. It looks like, is it a whippet or a greyhound?
A greyhound.
So it looks like a greyhound. Aw, actually, that's really cute now. I just want to love it.
It is weird that, because like werewolves are totally wolves in the Harry Potter universe.
Yeah, not like hairless wolves. Because
that thing was like a biped, you know?
Yeah. Another thing I didn't like is, this is probably Dan Radcliffe's acting when they're trying to, they're trying to get Buckbeak into the forest before Hermione grabs the dead ferrets.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, Buckbeak, come with me, okay? Okay, Buckbeak, okay? Come on, come with me, Buckbeak. Come on, okay? Come on, Buckbeak. I'm like, stop it! Buckbeak,
what's all this, Buckbeak?
The bit, okay, and now we're just straight up slagging on this movie, which is not that bad.
I legitimately like this movie still. I do. Okay.
But the scene, like, after Harry finds out that Sirius was his friends with his parents, and he, like, runs off, and he's sitting crying on a stone with the invisibility cloak, and Hermione takes it off, and then he's like, I'm gonna kill Sirius Black, and it was just like the worst scene.
Oh, I just remember something else.
His acting is abysmal though.
There's something else I hate about go ahead.
No, I was just saying, he's bad in this movie, Daniel Radcliffe. I love him, but he's so bad in this movie.
He gets a lot better. Yeah. If you haven't watched the movies before, he gets better.
This is better than the first two.
His learning curve.
This is my favorite one so far.
So that's what I'll say. This third movie is my favorite movie between the three. And I think I might also like it more than the fourth.
Yeah.
I just hate certain parts. And, oh, so the other thing I hate in this movie, the part when Fred and George are supposedly dragging Invisible Harry into that corridor to give him the map, is like, put some effort into it, guys. You're just acting like you have someone between your arms, but you're not making any, like, there's no resistance. Like, act like someone's fighting you. Fighting being drug.
Yeah. Yep. No, and that's so, like you were saying, like, I still am in the firm camp that I like this movie. I think that, am I saying it's my favorite of the series? No. And it has never been my favorite as a whole of the series. I actually just not on purpose, but my roommates literally, it was on ABC, or not ABC, Freeform, excuse me. It was on Freeform this past weekend. We watched Goblet of Fire, and that's one of my favorite books in the series, and was my favorite book for a long time. I don't think it is anymore, but it was. And that movie gets so, well, I think where this book, I mean, part of it's like the fourth book is so dense and so long, but I think that my faults with this movie are some of the shorthand they take that I think maybe isn't well received. Like you said, like getting rid of the whole fireball thing, or, you know, having those weird conversations instead of like building up with different Patronus classes. But the fourth book goes the opposite way, and I think it gets really, really bogged down with the plot, and we can get into that later. So I think that seeing those sort of in juxtaposition was helpful. But I think that what made this movie so good to me as like a moody, you know, like however I was 13, 14 year old, I don't know, when did this come out? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
Is that it was just, it took this really glossy sort of, you know, weird encased world. And I mean, people are like, it made it gross and gritty, and you didn't need to do that and everything. Like, I get that. Like, everything has, like, all superhero movies have to be gritty now. But, like, it felt more real to me, and it felt more like Harry Potter, and it felt more like England, actually. Like, when he was at the Monster Book of Monsters, when he was in that gross pub thing, I was like, oh my god, it looks just like England. And I don't know. I just thought that was kind of like a huge step away from the two previous movies in making this world kind of his own. And I also think that Alfonso Cuarón is a very good director, despite what he had to work with for Harry Potter. That's my
opinion. Just going along with what you said, I don't hate this movie, even though I've said it. It's not my least favorite movie, even though I've seen it before. I think maybe rewatching it, it's better than the first two, obviously. And maybe David Hayes that did 5 through 8?
I think David Yates did
5 through 8.
He did a lot, which is kind of, I mean, I feel like I'd be burned out, but there's still something to be said for continuity, for sure.
No, I was saying maybe if he's the one that did 5 through 8, then maybe mm-hmm. he was like, oh, whatever, like 3 and 4 had these things wrong, and that's why 5 through 8 is better. But, I mean, mm-hmm. like I said, I don't hate this movie.
I enjoyed it.
I also, it's not my favorite, but there are points that I liked about it, and there are different things that I hated about it. So maybe it's a wash.
I don't know.
I felt like it was time well spent watching it, and I enjoyed it, and I love Harry Potter, and everything's great.
I agree.
And my co-hosts are great.
Aw, well, that was nice, Michael.
Did you know that David Yates is going to direct all the Fantastic Beasts?
Is he really?
I think I heard that. Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah.
I was looking up who directed Goblet of Fire just out of curiosity, and it's Mike Newell, who I don't know.
Yeah, so maybe David Yates was like, this is what they did wrong with 3, where they put 2 less things in, and then, well, obviously he's not the screenwriter, but still. Maybe he's like, this is what they did wrong with 4.
Right, he has the benefit of
learning from the mistakes.
Of learning through these different things. So I think I remember back in the day reading something that Alfonso Cuarón said, which was like, you know, like, yeah, I made this world my own, but I didn't have to build it from scratch. Like Chris Columbus had to build this from scratch. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was like, yeah, like it's hard. One, Chris Columbus had to work with some dumb kid actors. But two, he had to completely like work to build this whole thing on his own. So even if it was maybe weaker than you would like it's a really complex, rich world. And you know, in Hogsmeade this time, I thought obviously it's the first time they got to Hogsmeade. It was so cool and it has become so iconic that that's what Hogsmeade is now. When you go to like, you know, I mean, I've never been to Harry Potter World, so I wouldn't know.
But it
does look like that, as far as the pictures tell me. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you have to sort of. I think that all the directors have been really respectful to each other, as far as I can tell in interviews, and you have to give credit to like. To people building on each other, and screenplays are different than books. You're gonna have to highlight different things and have shorthand sort of to convey different things to different people, and especially like when your audience is much more broad and different than they are in the books.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's great.
Awesome.
It's a good movie.
It's awesome. You guys are awesome.
We like Harry Potter.
The Shrunken Head is the worst. We all know it. The ending where they freeze frame is super dumb. It's not Breakfast Club, even though it wants to be.
It sounds like he's actually I want screaming out of fear when he's riding the broomstick instead of like happiness.
I want a supercut of him at the end, but instead of whatever song is playing, I want it to be "Don't You Forget About Me."
Forget about me,
and that would be better. So I'm gonna make that happen, or somebody has to make that happen.
Well, I think the bottom line is that it's better. It's a better movie because it's a Harry Potter movie. Every other movie sucks, except the fact that Sarah's wrong that Lord of the Rings being 3 hours is too long.
She's wrong about that.
Guys, it's not bad. Just man, I need it. I need like, you know how like in old times, like with like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, they had that intermission for like 5 to 10 minutes.
You don't need that.
Get up. I need that intermission.
I watched all of the Lord of the Rings movie I don't own them all extended,
but I just, they're long.
You're such a fake.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
This is so Harry Potter. Love you all.
This is the Lord of the Rings podcast now. Bye.
This has been our Lord of the Rings podcast.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.